let's lift up our voices in thanksgiving to God. That great I am, the Lord that is great, the unchangeable God. Let's appreciate him. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we give you all the glory. There's no one that can be compared to you. Blessed be your name. Let's give God thanks again for this third day of our week of spiritual emphasis. The promise of God to us is that on the third day, he will raise us up. Let's appreciate God for the raising that is on the way for us. Let's return all the glory to God. Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory for this third day of our week of spiritual emphasis. We return all the honor to you. Let's ask God that God send me my word at this hour. I am here to hear from you. I am here to listen to your word. Lord, speak to my heart. Oh Lord, send me my own word, this seasoned word for this season. Lord, send it my way in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we ask of you, speak to each and every one of us today, online, on ground, meet every one of us at the point of our knees by your word in the mighty name of Jesus. None of me, oh Lord, all of you this hour, take your place, Heavenly Father. Speak through me. Use me as a vessel to reach your people. And at the end of this service, let your name and your name alone be glorified. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Glory and honor be to you. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Let's put hands together for Jesus as we take our seat in God's presence. Praise the Lord. I am finally on the covenant highways of life. In the name of Jesus Christ, that shall be our testimony for the rest of this year, in the mighty name of Jesus. This evening, I want to give God thanks and I want to appreciate God's servant for this privilege given to me to stand before the people of God to bring the teaching in this last day of our week of spiritual emphasis to us. My prayer is that by the word that will proceed out of my mouth today, Lord of heaven, we bless every one of us in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you so much for this privilege, which will never be abused in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. This month, our prophetic focus has been, I will restore earth unto you. Let's echo it together. I will restore earth unto you. And our anchor scripture for this month is taken from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 30, verse 17. And in all our midweek services and our week of spiritual emphasis for this month, our teaching series is captioned, Come, Meet Jesus, the Great Physician and His Great Prescriptions. Come, Meet Jesus, the Great Physician and His Great Prescription. On Wednesday, by the grace of God, God's servant started with us and he made us to understand that Jesus Christ still is today. Jesus Christ still delivers today as in the Bible days. What Jesus Christ did before the existence of us, he's still doing it today. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, he says, And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and manner of disease among the people. And because Hebrews 13 verse 8 told us that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did in the time of the apostles, what he did in the time of our fathers in the faith, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, is still capable to do it right now. He still goes about healing everyone oppressed of the devil. And that is why we always call him a great physician and a generalist. Jesus Christ is not a specialist, it's not a physician that will say, oh, the only thing I can cure is just the ear. So once that one is done, then if you have a problem with the eye, you have to go and look for a specialist. Jesus Christ is a great physician and is a generalist, as we see in the book of Matthew chapter 8 verse 16 and the book of Acts chapter 10 verse 38. However, we need to understand that following the prescription of the great physician, that is following the prescription of Jesus Christ, is what makes whole and is what beautifies the destinies of believers. Following the prescription of this great physician is what makes whole and is what beautifies the destiny of every believer. For instance, a doctor cannot prescribe a drug for you and say, this medication I'm giving to you is an intravenous medication. And because you know too much, you say, oh, no, I'm going to convert this medication to oral medication. Then I'm going to take it through my mouth. It may not work the way that medication may work. So the same thing with the prescription that Jesus Christ gives to us. Once we follow it to the letter as being prescribed to us, we are very sure that it's going to make whole and it's going to beautify the destiny of anyone who cares to listen to what that prescription has stated. And we can see it in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 to 13, because over time, the first verse of it says that, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee these days, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And if we read further down to verse 13, we'll see all the blessing that God was pronouncing, God was declaring. But everything anchored on if you care to observe, if you care to do. If you care to observe, if you care to do. So it's very important that every prescription that we receive, especially in this month of healing, when we follow them to the letter, I see God perfecting our healing in the mighty name of Jesus. For better understanding of today's teaching, let's look at what we call mystery. What is a mystery? A mystery can be defined as a hidden secret of the kingdom that is accessible only to the redeemed. A mystery can be defined as a hidden secret of the kingdom that is accessible only to the redeemed. It is only someone who is very close to us. We have heard God's servant, he has really explained this to us, talking about you have a friend, the level of your relationship with that friend will determine where that person can go to in your house. The same thing, when you have a very close friend, you don't hide anything from that person. And that was what happened to Abraham when God was about going to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy it. He said, no, I can't do this kind of thing because Abraham is my very close friend. I can't hide this thing from him. And because of that, God revealed to him. So we need to have that very understanding that mystery is what is hidden. It's a secret that is hidden in the kingdom, and it is only accessible to those that are redeemed. Redemption draws us close to God, and that means redemption makes us to be a close friend of God, like Abraham, and that gives us access to the hidden secrets of the kingdom. In Mark chapter 4, verse 11, Bible says, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parable. That unto them that don't have connection with me, unto them that don't have relationship with me, everything I'm telling them will be like a parable. But because you have a relationship with me, because of the redemption that you are my close friend, then every hidden secret that is in my kingdom, I'm going to reveal them to you. That is why Psalm 25 verse 14 says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Secondly, a mystery is a defined secret embedded within the pages of the scripture. In Isaiah chapter 55 verse 8, the Bible says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord of hosts. And we see what happened in the book of Ephesians chapter 3 verse 1 to 5 and verse 8 to 11. God was describing to us how he made known his mystery to Paul, because Paul is his friend. Hallelujah. Praise the living Jesus. Not only are mysteries embedded within the pages of the scripture, mysteries are also wrapped up in biblical simplicity. It's hidden in the scripture. It is also wrapped up in biblical simplicity. That means because it's so simple, it can be easily ignored, or it can be that people don't pay attention to it. People don't consider it as being a serious thing. That is one thing with mystery. And that was what happened to Naaman. When Prophet Elisha was telling Naaman, you have leprosy. The only solution to your problem is for you to go to Jordan. Go and take your bath 7 times. And on the 7th time, you are going to be made whole. He didn't believe what it was too simple. How will just going into a river 7 times made me to be whole? And he started analyzing. And that is one thing with mystery. We tend to begin to analyze it, because it's so simple. The 10 lepers, when Jesus Christ told them that I'm going to heal you, but I'm not going to perform anything, the only solution to your problem is go and show yourself to the prophet. And Bible said that as they were going, they were do what? They were made, they were healed of their leprosy. It was too simple. If Jesus Christ had told them, for you to be healed, you need to pay certain amount, you need to do this sacrifice, you need to pay, do fasting, I know they possibly, maybe instead of only one returning to Jesus Christ to give thanks, maybe half of them will come back because they will remember what they have invested into their healing. It's so simple. Mystery is so simple that if care is not taken, it can be easily ignored or it may not be considered to be very serious. Hallelujah. A mystery may not make much sense to the natural mind, but never lacks proofs because they are usually authenticated by testimonies. A mystery may not make sense. It may look so stupid. It may look so funny to the natural mind, but never lacks proofs because they are usually authenticated by testimonies. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, Bible says that, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Praise the Lord. One of the since Wednesday, we've been looking at different prescription from the great physician. God's servant on Wednesday gave us the prescription of the power of faith, the mystery of faith. Yesterday, God's servant that came here gave us the mystery of the mantle. Today, we are going to look at another prescription of the great physician, and that prescription is the mystery of Passover blood. The mystery of Passover blood. What are the wonders in the mystery of Passover blood? Hallelujah. First, the mystery of Passover blood was unveiled by God for the rescue of his people, that is, for the rescue of the children of Israel. In Exodus chapter 11, verse 1, Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one more plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go. Thence, when he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out thence altogether. My prayer is that if there's anything holding anyone down by the mystery that we are going to be engaging all through this month, God of heaven will set such person free in the mighty name of Jesus. And we saw what happened in the book of Exodus chapter 12. If we read from verse 21 to 27 and 33, Moses called on the elders of Israel and said unto them, this is the instruction that God has given unto me. Make sure you just take a lamb according to your families and kill that lamb, and make sure that you put the blood of that lamb upon your doorstep and upon the pillars. And when they did that, the angel of destruction that was to destroy the Egyptians, when he came close to the house of the Israelites, he passed them over. That I'm so confident that as we engage this mystery of Passover blood in this month, every agent of destruction will pass us over in the mighty name of Jesus. Secondly, we need to also know that it is a transgenerational ordinance that is applicable today for all the seeds of Abraham, and it must be kept. It is a transgenerational ordinance that is applicable to everyone, to us today, as seeds of Abraham, and it must be kept. So in Exodus chapter 12, verse 24 to 25, Bible says that, and ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy son forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, Bible says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So the blood of sprinkling, the Passover blood, is a transgenerational ordinance that we must continually observe, that we must continually use. And because it worked in the times of the Israelites, it can also work, and it will continue to work for us in the mighty name of Jesus. We are seeds of Abraham. Every child of God is a seed of Abraham. And we are spiritual Israelites. That means we are spiritual Jews. We are spiritual Jews. Romans chapter 2, verse 28 to 29 says, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart and in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. So we can see that right from this, because our spirit has been rebirthed, our spirit has been regenerated, and because we are redeemed of the law, we are Jews, spiritual Jews, and we are connected to that covenant. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29 also says, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Hallelujah. We need to also understand that the Passover blood is still in force today. The Passover blood that delivered the Israelites from over 400 years bondage in Egypt, that Passover blood is still as potent as it was at that time, and it is still available to us in this our dispensation. Exodus chapter 12, verse 24 to 25 says, and ye shall observe these things for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, purge out therefore the old living, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unliving. For even Christ, our Passover, is sanctified for us. Christ has been sanctified for us, is our Passover lamb. And because it's our Passover lamb, sickness and diseases are not supposed to be found in our abode. Sickness and diseases are not supposed to be what will be tormenting our lives, because Jesus Christ has become our Passover blood and our Passover lamb, and his blood is available for us as the blood of sprinkling. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 says, now the God of grace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. The blood of Jesus is a blood of everlasting covenant. Forever, that blood will still be answering. And I pray that blood will continue to answer for us in the mighty name of Jesus. Why do we need to sprinkle people? We are talking about, there are different versions of the blood. There are some that we have the blood that we need to drink, like what we have standing before us today. The same thing with the blood of sprinkling. Why do we need to sprinkle people? According to scripture, believers are God's building and temple of the Holy Ghost. We see it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, 16, and 17, and also 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. And because we are God's building, we are to be sprinkled in line with the instruction that God gave to Moses. God instructed Moses that the people must place the blood on the door, so that when the angels of destruction is passing by, it will pass them over. So we need to be sprinkled as individual. And Hebrews chapter 9, verse 19 to 21 says, for when Moses has spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats and with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God had enjoined into you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both tabernacle and all the vessels in the ministry. We can see that the blood of sprinkling is to be used to sprinkle houses, to be used to sprinkle things, and even we as individual because we are God's temple. The blood of sprinkling still remains a vital spiritual weapon of war today. It's still a very vital spiritual weapon of war today. I was reading one of the testimonies of one of our deacons in Port Harcourt. He was giving a testimony. That's Deacon Chidebere. He was giving a testimony that he made up his mind to build a house for his parents and his uncle and the aunt. They were angry. They said, you cannot do it. And they started tormenting his life. They started making life miserable to him. So what the man did was, he went to that land that he wanted to build. When he got there, he anointed the ground. And every day, he would go there, sprinkle the blood of Jesus upon that land. According to his testimony, he said, at times, I will go there, I will park my car on that ground and be and listening to the message of Bishop. At a point, when he started building the house, the uncle was picking the block that he was supposed to use to build the house. He was using it to patch his own house. When he was doing the roofing, the auntie said, no, you can't do roof. If you are doing the roof, then when rain is falling, rain must not fall on my ground. I was reading it, I was saying, people are so wicked. They are so weird. And because of that engagement, intensifying in prayer, he was using the blood of sprinkling. God made sure that aunt was blind. That uncle became paralyzed because of the engagement of the blood of sprinkling. So that's to show to us that blood is still very, very potent today. So we must have that consciousness and ensure that we continue to engage it. Every enemy that says we will not move forward in one way or the other, Lord of heaven will cause them to fall for our sake as we engage the blood of sprinkling in the mighty name of Jesus. What is in the Passover blood that is? Number one, it keeps the destroyer at bay from our lives and from our domain. It becomes a seed upon our lives to keep the destroyer away. We see it in Exodus chapter 12, verse 13. The second thing that the blood of sprinkling does, that why we say the blood of sprinkling is that it terminates all siege of misfortune. And we see it in Exodus chapter 11, verse 1 to 3. The Israelites, when they were leaving Egypt, God said, you are not going to only leave that place. When you are going to leave, God will ensure that those people that you have served for over 40 years, they will begin to be the one that will be giving you their silver. They will be giving you their gold. Just overnight, when I was pondering over this passage, I said, in the afternoon, these people were servants. But in the night, God turned them to millionaires. God turned their story around because of the engagement of the blood of sprinkling. That blood will terminate every siege of misfortune in anyone's life in the mighty name of Jesus. That blood of sprinkling also rescues from all satanic strongholds of sickness, disease, and death. Exodus 12:42, we will see a very good account there concerning the children of Israel. In Luke 9:1-2, Bible says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And they departed and went through the town, preaching the gospel and healing everyone, healing everywhere. Healing everyone, healing everywhere. That is the power of the blood of sprinkling, the Passover blood. Number four, it renders double back of all that anyone may have lost, including earth challenges. It renders double back of all that anyone may have lost, including earth challenges. We see it in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 11 to 12. The word of God says, and as for thee, also, by the blood of the covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoner out of the pit, wherein is no water. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoner of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto you. God will render double unto everyone in the mighty name of Jesus. Also, the blood of sprinkling, that Passover blood, is God's last card for the rescue of the redeemed. We see it established in Exodus 11, verse 1 to 2. It's the blood to rescue anyone in bondage. this blood will answer for us in the mighty name of Jesus. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 to 8, he said, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And on this planet earth, we have the Spirit, we have the water, and we have the blood. And these three are one. If there's anything that the Spirit cannot handle, the water will handle it. If there's anything that the Spirit and the water cannot handle, the blood of Jesus will handle it. That is why I'm so confident that anyone that is caught sick, anyone that is being afflicted by one sickness or disease, as you engage this blood or this Passover blood, as you engage this blood of sprinkling, the Lord of heaven will set you free from them in the mighty name of Jesus. As I conclude this evening, I want to admonish us. Let us keep engaging this mystery. It is powerful. It is a weapon of warfare whenever the going gets tough. Whenever the going gets tough. And I pray that blood will answer for us in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's rise up on our feet this evening. Let's give God thanks. Let's rise up on our feet. Let's appreciate God for the sent word this evening. Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory for all that you have done in our midst. Take all the glory in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. God's servant will be coming to this altar very soon. I want you to make a decision for Christ. If you have not made it, the Passover blood can only answer for the redeemed. I pray God of heaven will give you understanding and embrace you in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's put hands together for Jesus.